Yo, what's cracking? This your homeboy Ice Cube, and you tuned in to Everything Snowboarding and More podcast. You know what it is, baby.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike with the Mountain Weekly News. Welcome back to episode number 60 of the Everything Snowboarding and More podcast. This week's episode is being brought to you by Jackson Hole Mountain Resort. Jackson Hole Mountain Resort received almost 8 feet of snow toward the end of December. Conditions are going off, and looks like we've got some more snow coming late January, and February and March are always the time to be up in the Tetons. So for more information, check out jacksonhole.com. This week's special guest is Sam Singer. Sam is the founder of the Wyoming Stargazing Institute, and honestly, this is one of the coolest things that you've probably never heard of. Wyoming Stargazing does a great job of basically introducing people to stars and what happens after dark and looking up into the night sky. Along with that, Sam is one of the people that is kind of spearheading this dark sky compliance campaigns that are going on starting here in Jackson and will be going on across the Mountain West. So once again, this week's special guest, Sam Singer of the Wyoming Stargazing Institute. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So Sam, give us kind of a background about, you know, who you are and what the, you know, why stargazing is important and kind of how this came to be.
Sure. So let's see. When I was 10 years old, we moved from the San Francisco Bay Area to a tiny little town in northern Nevada, a place called Yarrington. And it was the first time in my life that I had ever seen a really dark night sky. And it just blew me away. I had never seen the central band of the Milky Way galaxy stretching across the sky before. And my dad had a basic interest in astronomy, so he started taking me out to watch meteor showers and lunar eclipses, and sometimes just to sit out under the starry night sky in the summertime. And so I developed a love for the night sky then. I didn't know that I was one of the lucky 50% of people alive who had ever seen the Milky Way. Most of Earth's population live in really big cities, and the unwanted and unnecessary artificial light that illuminates the night sky makes the Milky Way invisible, and most of the stars in the night sky invisible, and every big city around the globe. And so this is one of the unintended consequences of electric lights at night. You know, we use them for safety, for entertainment, for decorations, but they have these unintended consequences that don't just harm stargazers like me. It also has detrimental effects on every living thing on Earth. All living things evolved with natural circadian rhythms, periods of light and darkness with the rise and fall of the sun. And now there are some places on Earth that are almost as bright as day all 24 hours. There's just so much artificial light at night that it never gets dark. And whether you're talking about mammals, insects, even plants, their natural rhythms get disrupted by this artificial light. It affects humans as well. The National Institute of Health has done a ton of research on artificial light at night, and it turns out there are direct correlations with several different types of cancer, insomnia, depression. And so it's not just the wildlife that we're harming with artificial light at night, it's humans as well. Not to mention the huge cost in having all these lights running that just glare up into the night sky that don't actually do what we want them to do, providing safety on the ground, and the huge use of energy that gets expended every year for this light that doesn't do anything except make the sky bright. And so I didn't know how lucky I was growing up. I went out to the East Coast for college, was in Western Massachusetts. We had pretty good dark skies out there. But when I came to Jackson in 05 to do the grad program at the Teton Science Schools, I realized that the night sky here was like the night sky in northern Nevada that I had grown up with, and I fell in love with it all over again. And so since I got here in 05, I've been showing people the night sky, first as a student and then a faculty member at the Teton Science Schools, and as the founder and executive director of Wyoming Stargazing since 2013, so last 12 years.
I love it, Sam. So are you saying that anywhere in the country right now, if somebody was living, if we didn't have any night lights, everybody could see the Milky Way?
That's right.
Wow. Regardless, yeah. You don't have to be in the mountains and you don't have to be in these special up north in Alaska and to a certain... No. And then would that also correlate to the constellations?
Absolutely, right? So there are different constellations up different times of the year, depending on what side of the sun the Earth is on. So we get a totally different set of constellations that we can see in the winter compared to the summer. But yeah, artificial light is the problem here. If we just turned off our lights at night when we weren't using them, the skies would be darker everywhere. But that's not the standard right now. Right now, artificial lights get left on sometimes 24 hours a day. And it's just an issue of education. I don't think a lot of people have really thought about how detrimental their lights could be. And the cool thing is we can solve the problems of light pollution at the speed of light, literally just by flipping a switch and turning lights off that you're not using before you go to bed. There are also some really simple and cheap technologies, motion sensors, and timers that you can use to just turn your lights on only when you need them, when you step outside at your porch, or you can have them set to go off on timers. Those are some really simple ways that we can reduce light pollution at a, you know, individual level. And then of course, you know, there's shielding that we can put on existing lights, hoods that actually direct the light downward, which is where we want the light in the first place.
Sure. And you know, a lot of our audience is based in Los Angeles, New York, Texas, and then kind of the other half are mountain people. And I think a lot of us can kind of look up in the night sky and probably start to see some of the constellations, at least to the people living in the mountains. But then when you go camping and you really get away, I mean, the town of Jackson, you wouldn't think we have much light pollution, but it turns out we do. Because when you get away from all this and you go camping, it becomes a very different experience. I mean, heck, you can see the meteors. And, you know, I was lucky where I grew up. My parents were divorced in Southern California, where my mom lived in Seal Beach, you know, small beach town, but plenty of lights. You never really got to see the stars in this way. My father lived in Laguna Niguel, kind of up in the hills. And I mean, he taught me to see the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. And I was so fortunate. I'll never forget that. Now, that's one of those things, once you learn, you're like, oh, I know exactly what I'm looking for.
Totally.
There's no way I would have been able to learn that living in the city.
That's right.
And I'm so blessed by that. And then as we go back and I look at, you know, the old surf cultures and the Polynesians, people were able to do stuff with the stars that now we're almost behind. As advanced as we are in technology, we've kind of taken a step back, because in most places, you're probably not going to be able to use the stars for navigation or find the North Star. And it's just, there's so much of this unneeded light pollution. And like you said, a lot of this it might be people that just don't even know.
That's
hey,
right.
I didn't realize that leaving my porch light on, or maybe I just need that filter. And, you know, we had talked before the podcast, I decided to upgrade my porch lighting for when I turn it on. And I went to the local Ace here in town, and it was all LED, very bright spectrum. And I thought, you know, I'm in Jackson, Wyoming. Like, we love wildlife. Like, how?
Totally.
I think some of the coastal communities figured this out with, like, the turtles.
That's right.
Hey, if you live on the beach, certain lighting is okay. And there's certain lighting that we just don't do that.
Yeah, they were the original poster children of combating light pollution, sea turtles.
Sea turtles were.
Yeah.
I love it.
And we, you know, all of our like charismatic megafauna that we have here in Jackson are negatively affected by light pollution. There just haven't been any really good studies to produce that poster child for light pollution in the Intermountain West. And I think it's really needed. We know that there are detrimental effects, but we just don't have enough research done specifically on the animals that live in the Rocky Mountains, just to know how detrimental it is.
And one of the reasons to bring Sam on, and I mean, this is pressing, a couple weeks ago, they put up a bunch of lights on this really dark street that I live on in Jackson, up against the National Forest. And, you know, today I counted another 15 deer in my yard. I mean, it is where deer know that it's just outside of town, they're safe. my street is completely just lit up with these lights. And I think that, you know, I know the town of Jackson, they have an ordinance that they're working on. It's this dark sky compliance. And I know, Sam, yourself, you've kind of worked with the town and the county to say, hey, look, like, I'm paying attention to the stars and I'm kind of tuned into what's happening with light. Maybe some people are driving around town. They don't even notice these big, bright lights.
Totally.
And then once we have people that are conscious to it and are starting to address this, I think this is where we can make this change and rapid. I mean, just this, a full spectrum, because I doubt there's anybody that lives or moves to Jackson, especially this day and age. You know, if you're buying a multi-million dollar home in Jackson and you're here because you want to be outdoors and you're here because you love the wildlife, I don't think you're going to want to not. If all of a sudden in the city that you live in, you can see better skies than you can in Jackson, you're going to say, what's going on here? What are we missing?
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants light pollution, right? Like, eliminating light pollution is a win-win for everyone and everything, right? We save money, we reduce energy usage, we make the nighttime environment healthier for wildlife, healthier for humans, and we get to enjoy the glory of the night sky, all just by turning off lights at night. And you're right, it's all about education. Most folks just don't know that their porch light is causing a problem. And like, just one porch light is not a problem. But when you talk about 10,000 porch lights, it becomes a big issue.
For sure. And my take on this, I was more worried about wildlife. You know, I want that to be kind of my legacy in Jackson. And the people, my mentors, you know, Bruce Hayes, I mean, wildlife's more important than humans. I mean, to be honest,
they were here first, right?
They were. But then you mentioned the human side of this. And I'm starting to see there's a lot of, like, I don't want to say health influencers, but people that are wealthy, that are very tuned into their health, and they are using light. They wake up in the morning, they have a certain spectrum of light that they're putting around them. They have alarm clocks that are waking up at night. We're talking, don't use the blue screen.
That's right.
Certain lights.
Yep.
Maybe even having that light come dim down. I mean, again, these natural circadian, I love winter more than anything. I love when the sun goes down here in Jackson at 5 o'clock. It's like, you know what? It's time to slow it down.
Yeah.
Versus those summer days where it's 10:30 at night. And I'm like, oh my God, can you please sun go down? Because I want to be back in that rhythm. Again, this is probably affecting humans and wildlife equally. And not, I mean, insects, everything.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, you brought up a good point about the electronic screens that we use, whether it's our laptops or desktops or even our cell phones. I would strongly encourage everyone to have apps on their phone that reduce the amount of blue light and on their computers after sunset. You don't have to do it manually. These apps can be built in and it automatically reduces the amount of blue light, increases the amount of red light on all of your screens after sunset. And we know that artificial light after sunset suppresses hormones that can lead to all kinds of problems, as I mentioned before, certain types of cancers, as well as insomnia and depression. So yeah, folks, you gotta have these apps on your phones and your computers to reduce the amount of blue light after sunset. Really important.
You're now the second or third person I've heard talk about this. I think it was Elon Musk and then Rick Rubin.
Oh,
and Rick Rubin is just very tuned into everything conscious. Yeah. You know, he's doing the cooling beds and I mean, just... Yeah. He's probably going to live to be very old because he's so conscious.
Yeah.
But he was saying, I mean, this blue light, especially on the phone. And I think he even said that iPhone has a way that you can just switch it internally to more of that red spectrum.
Absolutely.
And adjust. And I mean, these are things, obviously, if iPhone's putting it in there, there's probably a reason.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's robust scientific research that's been done on human circadian rhythms, hormone production, and artificial light at night. Unfortunately, the folks who work the night shifts are the ones who are most susceptible to having problems from artificial light. The folks who like sleep during the day and who work in lit environments at night, they've got to be the most careful about the artificial light they're exposed to. And so there are a lot of different industries that are taking note of this, and they're changing the color of their light at night to actually help protect their nighttime workers. The Jacksonville Airport is actually one example. They're doing a complete overhaul of all their exterior and interior lights to make sure they have the right color that's the healthiest for their nighttime employees.
I love it. I mean, it's just going to help productivity and
totally
keep people from getting sick.
Exactly.
Healthy employees, happy employees.
Yeah.
That's Yeah. Which that's what you want. Speaking of employees, let's circle back to your business and what you do here in Jackson and why people might want to contact you personally and the Wyoming Stargazers.
Sure. Thanks for asking. So Wyoming Stargazing is a local nonprofit organization, and we lead public and private stargazing programs. So we do a free public event every clear Thursday night throughout the year out at Rendezvous Park. And so we encourage locals and visitors to come out an hour after sunset to Rendezvous Park every clear Thursday night throughout the year. Just dress warmly and we'll take care of the rest, showing you the night sky with our big telescopes. In the summertime, we sometimes get over 100 people to those events. So for folks who are looking for a more intimate private experience, we can pick you up at your hotels or your private residence and drive you out into Grand Teton National Park with the big telescope and really show you the full extent of what our skies out here can offer. Just a 20-minute drive outside of Jackson gets you away from all the light pollution here and brings you out to some of the darkest places in the country.
And if people want to learn more about the constellations, obviously, as you mentioned, you know, they're changing. So I'm not going to be able to see the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper in the same spot you know, throughout the year. Is there like a constellation book for dummies, or what's a good way? I mean, is it coming out to programs like yourself and saying, oh, okay, here's the thing, because I probably couldn't tell you. I mean, I think my dad showed me Orion's Belt and a few of the others, but that it starts getting into almost wormhole-y.
Totally. I mean, you can't outdo just in-person experiences, right? Just like going out at night and looking up is the best way you can learn the night sky. We use some free sky charts that you can get from a website. It's called skymap.com, and they provide a free monthly sky chart of all of the constellations, brightest stars, and the deep sky objects, the galaxies and nebulae that you can pick out with a pair of binoculars. You don't need a big telescope. It's certainly nice, right? You collect more light, but just going out with a pair of binos in a place like Jackson Hole, you can see some incredible stuff. And these free star charts are fantastic. They can show you where everything is.
I wonder, it seems like what you're doing, you're kind of ahead of the curve, because I could see every resort in mountain town wanting to have a product like this. Typically in a ski town at night, what do people do? They're going to drink. They're going to the restaurant, the bar.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're going to the ski shop to rent stuff. It's not, you're not thinking about, okay, I'm going to go skiing. I'm going to go snowshoeing. I'm going to go dog sledding. It's like all these things seem to be daytime activities.
That's right.
Especially in the winter. And I love that you're like, well, you got to just warm for this. But this would be such a cool product just to offer. Like, hey, there's
totally.
And I think anybody that's visiting a place like this would be like, I would totally sign up for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. In the last 10 years, a lot of different resorts across the country and around the world have been catching on to this idea of doing stuff with their guests after dark. So, you know, you can go have dinner and go to a movie, but then what, right? Like, you know, the national parks have created a great slogan, half the park is after dark, right? And so that's like spreading all over the country. That was actually coined by an astronomer, an incredible artist, actually, a guy by the name of Tyler Norgden. So that's his quotation. But yeah, the national parks picked it up and you're seeing that all over the country. Dark Sky International is an organization that actually certifies areas who want to make commitments to preserve their dark night skies. And so they've certified areas in several different countries all over the world and several communities and national parks and state parks in the United States. And so for the past decade, I've been trying to get this valley certified as a dark sky place. So I've been working with the town council, with Teton County commissioners, Grand Teton National Park, and we are on the cusp of making it happen. We actually have an application for municipal Teton County and the town of Jackson that's going to get submitted probably in the next month to get those areas certified as dark sky communities. Grand Teton National Park is not far behind, and the Jackson Hole Airport is actually going to be submitting a separate application for an urban dark sky area. And so we're actually going to have some certified dark sky locations in Jackson Hole within a year, which I'm really excited about. Like I say, it's been 10 years in the making, but this is where the work actually begins, right? We've got these certifications. The certifications alone are not going to save our night skies. We actually have to get people to make informed decisions about how they use lighting at night. You know, turn off your lights when you're not using them, put shielding on your lights, use motion sensors and timers. And if we actually take pride in our night skies and each do our part, we can have dark night skies like this for generations to come.
Well, I love it. And, you know, here in Jackson, you know, it is an old Western town. And a lot of times we're not as progressive as other towns. You know, we're still trying to deal with housing and transportation and things that, you know, people joke, oh, we don't want to be like Aspen and Vail. It's like they're light years ahead of us in many things.
Yeah.
But with this being one of the most environmentally sensitive, I mean, there's no other ski resort mountain town in the lower 48s has the amount of wildlife we have.
That's right.
Maybe you go up to Big Sky and you start to see, you know, big open spaces, but like what we have here is so special. And I really see yourself and myself and the town and the county all of a sudden being the leaders in this, where this is going to take a while. And it's surprising that Jackson as a whole hasn't already got, because sure. I've been so offended. And I mean, again, this, I got fired up and I called the Public Works and I called Sam and I called the Lower Valley Energy Company. And it's like, I think Jackson, we really have the opportunity right now to not only make our community healthier and happier and help the entire ecosystem, this becomes a model for every other town.
That's right.
And it doesn't happen overnight, but like, look what these guys did. They put the legwork in, it took time. Here's what Jackson, I mean, like an aerial, here's what it looked, used to, the night sky used to look like. Here's what it is now. And that, because once people start to see that, and I think even if somebody going on Google Maps or Google Earth and was able to do pictures of night sky over all these amazing Aspen and Telluride and Jackson, people might cringe and be like, whoa, I didn't know. I could expect that in Los Angeles, Texas, you know, these big cities, you know, Houston.
Yeah.
But to have that, and again, I think it's just a matter of it's education.
Totally.
I doubt there's going to be anybody in this community that's really going to fight this.
No. You know, I mean, I think there are folks in the community who have this like attitude of, don't tell me what to do on my property, right? Like you run into that a lot. And, you know, my response to those folks is like, hey, I don't want to tell you what to do on your property, but your neighbor, they have the rights that you have as well, right? So just like you wouldn't want to be like hearing your neighbor's music at 1 o'clock in the morning, they don't want light from your yard shining through their window at 1 o'clock in the morning. It's about respecting each other's property rights. We're not taking anybody's right away, but we want everybody to be able to enjoy a good night's sleep and a dark night sky whenever they want.
I love the music analogy because it's like, it's, you know, you hear light pollution, but it's like music pollution.
Totally.
I mean, in the county, there's been events that people played music too long, too late, and the neighbors, I mean, the decibels were way too high. I mean,
totally.
That is music pollution.
That's right. Yeah. And it's the same thing. So in the light pollution world, we call it light trespass. When the light that you're emitting from your property passes over the property lines of your neighbor. And we have a rule about light trespass in the exterior lighting standards, both at the town level and the county level. You're not supposed to be doing that. And it's just a matter of education, right? And I get calls all the time from people who are grumpy about their neighbor's lights. And I was like, hey, the first thing is like, go have a friendly conversation with your neighbor. Like they probably don't even know that their light is causing a problem. Just like, you know, next time you see him out like on the sidewalk, just say, hey, just, you know, you probably didn't even know about this, but your lights were kind of keeping us up the other night. Would you mind turning them off after you go to bed or close your curtains? And, you know, most people want to do the neighborly thing when they know they're causing a problem. So I think it just starts with that type of like conversation and communication. And I think everyone would be happy to turn a light off that they're not using.
And I like that, just being neighborly. And regardless if you're in Jackson or anywhere else, because I did this, my next door neighbor, he left town and he left his two floodlights on over his garage. And I thought, wow, that's really bright. And I'm like, there's no way he did that on purpose. I was like, that's weird. And I texted him. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe we left those on. I'm so sorry.
Totally.
I'll have my son or somebody go over and fix that.
Yeah.
And it was, again, as opposed to like, okay, do I want to leave that on for a week and just fully blasting? I
was
like, but it seems like there's lots of stuff that we can do. I mean, to start personally on the small level. I mean, you mentioned the hoods, you know, how much, what is that footprint that your light is putting out?
Right.
does the light even really need to be on all the time? Or would, you know, if it's a pathway light, a motion type light comes on, I've got them now, they come on for 10, 15 seconds. Yeah. I've got real nice orange glow ones. I mean, if you drive by, it looks cute. Like, oh, he's got candles or something.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I walk by, it's gone.
Yeah. I even use those inside my house. You can actually buy lights now that are motion sensitive, like light bulbs. And so they only go on when you walk into a room. It's super convenient. You don't even have to remember to flip them off at the end. You just walk out and they go off. So that kind of stuff. We have really available and cheap technologies that we can use to make reducing light pollution really easy and cost effective. One of the big contentious issues right now in Jackson has been string lights. I think you, Mike, you saw the email that Teton County just sent out reminding people to turn off their Christmas lights on January 10th. So right now there are basically prohibitions against string lights year round. And there's an exemption around the holiday season. I'm actually working with the town and the county to do away with that prohibition and actually let folks use string lights all year long, but just to dim them down or turn them off after a certain time each night, right? So once you go to bed, you don't need your string lights on. Just have them set on a timer, have them go off or dim them down to a certain percentage. They're really cheap timers and dimmers that you can buy for $15 on Amazon and have this all done automatically for you. Same thing with businesses. After businesses close, turn your string lights off or dim them down for 24-hour businesses after midnight to 30%. You know, I want people to be able to use the lighting that they already have paid money for on their properties. They have the right to do that. I just want to help them understand that their neighbors might not want all of that light. And so let's just work together, come to a compromise and dim our lights down after a certain amount of time, but continue to use string lights year round. And then at the holidays, remove all of those restrictions, right? People should be able to celebrate the holidays with lots and lots of light. We've been doing that for generations. Yep. I don't have a problem with that at all.
And I love it. I mean, you kind of circle back to the homeowners and having that respect. Hey, if it's your house and you especially you move to Jackson right now and you spend, you know, $4 or $5 million and you want to put some string lights up on a tree,
go for it.
You can do that.
Absolutely.
You do you.
No problem with that at all. But when we go to sleep, we can turn them off.
And then I've got these kind of in my kitchen, I've got these magnetic, these motion sensor lights that I like. And that way I can go into the kitchen in the middle of the night and they kind of come on.
That's what I've got as well.
Kind of mellow.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And I mean, even the lights that I have out on my porch, they're these ones that you can actually pull off the handle and go walk with them.
Oh,
and
cool.
Put them onto the next handle.
I've seen
and
those.
I was like, okay, like it doesn't. You know, again, less is more for me. I love sleeping with my bedroom windows open. I mean, right now it's really cold, so you kind of have to close the shades a little. But it's like, I live here for a reason. And to have the dark skies, I realize how blessed we are. And as this community continues to grow, we can go one of two directions.
Yeah.
You know, we can either address this and minimize that impact, or we can... It's business as usual. And unfortunately with that, you're going to probably have a lot of people that move here and just aren't as familiar or conscious to this and, oh, well, I use this kind of light back home. You know, as we talked about, the local hardware store only sells LED lights.
Yeah.
And I just don't like personally that brightness of LED. I've pulled all of them out of the rental home I'm in. I was like, wow, somebody wants that.
One of my longstanding goals is to have more dark sky friendly lighting and fixtures available locally. And I think that's going to be really important moving forward once we get our dark sky certification for the town and the county. We have to make it easy for folks to do the right thing. And so I'll definitely be working with our local hardware stores to make sure that they understand what we're doing as a community. And, you know, they stand to benefit financially to have this stuff in stock, right? There are going to be more and more people who learn about this and who want to do the right thing. So it behooves the local vendors to have those products available for their customers.
For sure. And before we wrap this up, so hopefully we've encouraged some of our readers are like, oh my gosh, like I didn't realize I'm going to go out. Like right now you're looking at the lights. Tonight you're going to look at all the lights in your house. Okay, I want to change these out. What's that step look like?
Yeah.
How is there a certain type? I mean, obviously LED to me is like, I'm going to go the opposite But that seems to be more of the majority of lights being sold now are going to a brighter LED.
Yeah. And so there's nothing inherently wrong with LED technology. What you want to pay attention to is what's called the color temperature of the lights. And it's usually represented in a scale of Kelvin, right? And so the scale usually goes from like 1,000 to 5,000. The exterior lighting standards that we have in town right now are set to cap the color temperature at 3,000 Kelvin. And that's a nice, like, soft yellowish glow. Once you start getting up above 3,000 Kelvin, then you're getting into like the bright white and even like bluish glow that you get from some LED lights. But LED lights can be tuned to any color temperature. And recently, more and more LEDs are being sold with the lower color temperature. So 2,700 Kelvin is now readily available with LED lights. But that's the search that you want to do when you go to, you know, Amazon or whatever distributor you like to buy lights from. You want to look at the color temperature, and the lower the value, the oranger or redder the light will be. And that's much healthier for wildlife and for humans.
Okay, because that was going to be my next question. If somebody really wants to go down the wormhole, okay, I want to protect the wildlife or night sky.
Go down to 2,000 Kelvin. Yeah, go down to 2,000 Kelvin. Then you're talking about like a kind of like almost like a cherry red color. And the same thing happens with these apps on your cell phones and your screens that take away the blue light. Your screen is going to start to appear a little bit reddish. And so it kind of skews all the colors on your screen. But that's the safest thing to do for humans and for wildlife. So yeah, 2,700 Kelvin or lower is what we're hoping that folks will opt to do. And the town and the county have made commitments for all public lights to be 3,000 Kelvin or lower.
I guess one last question. We kind of talked about this before we got on the podcast. What countries or cities, or is there any town or municipality that has started this and kind of done it right? Like, oh, they've reduced that footprint, because obviously everybody is increasing the amount of light. We have more people in the world. We have more building. Technology. We have so much more electronics. Yeah. Is there a country or an area that has said, you know what? Hey, we're going to jump out in front of this, or does it become Jackson? We become the leaders.
New Zealand is really crushing it. There are several cities and areas in New Zealand that have done incredible jobs in planning their lighting to get it right the first time. And, you know, and that's a problem actually that you see in a lot of like Western towns in the United States, particularly the tourist towns. There just wasn't any forethought put into lighting when the towns got planned out 20, 30, 40 years ago. And so now we're backtracking and like rethinking our lighting plans. But places like New Zealand that are fairly big countries with low populations and have a lot of undeveloped land, they're doing it right the first time out. So they're crushing it.
Awesome, Sam. And then last but not least, if somebody wants to come out with you, find out more information about Wyoming stargazing, what's the best way? How can they, website, social media, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, wyomingstargazing.org. And then we've got presence on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. But yeah, Wyoming stargazing, just do a Google search for that and it'll come up.
Cool. Well, Thursday nights, Rendezvous Park. On clear nights, would you recommend an hour before?
Hour after sunset.
Hour after sunset. Yeah. And then just bundle up, because if you're not from Jackson, even if you are, man,
even in the summertime.
Yes. You know, we always have our face masks, you know, our little neck gaiters and, you know, beanies and gloves. You can't be too, you know, overdressed.
You can always take a layer off.
You can take a layer off. Yeah. Well, right on, Sam. Thank you so much. And I really look forward to being a part of what you're doing. You know, you're leading the town efforts, you're leading the county efforts. It's kind of weird sometimes at me that they're both different entities. You know, it's like their offices are right next to each other. And like, but, you know, again, we as a community, I think this wasn't something that maybe was thought of 30 or 40 years ago, or it didn't even really matter. There was less people in town.
Sure.
I think the light bulbs even 30, 40 years ago were different.
Sure.
They just weren't putting... My 1994 Ford Bronco, the stock bulbs that I have are very different than a modern blue Kelvin light.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And is that term Kelvin, is that also used in the auto?
It is. Yeah. That's just the fundamental unit that's used for color temperature, not just by like, you know, industries, engineering firms, but also astronomers. we talk about Cutler temperature in Kelvin. That's just the scale that gets used internationally as opposed to Fahrenheit or Celsius.
And again, for readers or listeners that maybe aren't familiar with the light pollution, I think you've probably seen light pollution on the road when you see a car that just has their lights angled the right direction or it's too bright. I go fully blinded and totally. I'm like, that's as dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, this is where the saying deer caught in the headlights comes from. When nocturnal and crepuscular animals that are awake or in most active around dusk and dawn, when they get artificial light shown into their eyes, they lose their depth perception and they can't tell how far away that light source is coming from. That's why deer just stand there and get hit a lot of the time. Same thing with moose and elk. They lose their depth perception when artificial light hits them at night. So deer stuck in the headlights, it's legit. They really are stuck because they don't know how far away the light source is.
Wow. Well, Everybody, thanks again. Episode 60, Everything Snowboarding and More podcast. Be sure, I mean, next time you're in Jackson, not even in Jackson, tonight, just look up, see what the sky looks like. And if it's not what you want to see, you know, you can start making, you know, maybe look around your home, look at your neighbors, look at, you know, start contacting your city or just come out to Jackson and go get outdoors and go to those places that, you know, we're so fortunate to have areas that have these dark sky compliances. I mean, again, I can only imagine people that live in India and China and in these major cities that maybe have never even seen what the night sky could look like. And again, as you said, if all their lights went off, they would still be seeing the same type of stuff that we are.
Yeah, there have actually been some really cool documented cases where there have been massive blackouts in really densely populated areas. And people stepped outside and they were just mesmerized by the night sky that had always been above their heads. They just could never see it. So sometimes those unfortuitous moments actually can lead to pretty cool breakthroughs.
Wow. Thanks again, Sam. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Mike. Thanks for having me.